Welcome to Rule Breaker Lifestyle Podcast, rewriting limiting rules and creating choices that empower our souls. I'm your host, Cammie Kennedy, tomboy microbiologist turned diet recovery expert, published fitness model, lifestyle renovator, and health blogger. The show is meant for women who want to live life on their own terms with extra cookie dough, gratitude, self-love, and taking action. From health and wellness to faith and mindset, we will own abundance and turn challenges into opportunities. Today we have Amanda Wright on the show as our first Fit Faith guest in the Rule Breaker Lifestyle Fit Faith series. As faith is solely responsible for all I've done, all I have, and all I ever will do, I want to honor this space as a place to share faith, mindset strategies, and stories of women and their practice along their journey. Amanda shares with us her struggles, her strategies, and her support for growing through life with all of the unknowns. Amanda Wright is a strength and conditioning specialist, certified nutrition coach, and owner of a Right Fit Health Coaching Company. She specializes in teaching women how to grow stronger in body, wiser in mindset, and all by living a more surrendered to God. She believes in a holistic, lifestyle-based approach to nutrition and fitness, and loves talking about how faith can radically improve our physical health too. Today, she comes to us from her home in the Silicon Valley of Northern California, speaking about breaking the business rules by combining fitness and faith to changing her fitness and nutrition routine to support growing a human baby. She places faith, her faith practice, at the forefront of her life and teaches others to do the same. I know you're going to get lots of inspiration from this episode. And if you do want more faith and fitness, download your copy of the Fit Faith 28-day fitness and faith devotional called Create, Believe, Conquer. You can pick this up at createbelieveconquer.info. Again, you can find all the show notes at cammiekennedy.com, episode 008. Thanks so much, Amanda, for being on. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you doing, Cammie?
I'm doing great. It's so funny. We just reconnected and we're like, we need to talk so much. Let's do it on a podcast.
I know, right? Let's do it publicly for hundreds of people to put our updates.
Perfect. So it's been a minute since we chatted, and I'm going to have an intro in the beginning of everything that you do now, but kind of just fill me in on what's going on in your season of life right now.
Oh my goodness. So many things are going into my season of life. So for those that probably heard, I run a health coaching business. It's a fit and faith-based business. I primarily have run it for the last 3 years. I started it in 2015 as an online space, really wanting to lean itself into the writing, the education, the discussion points, and then online platforms so that anyone can access the information, the programs, my nutrition program, my fitness program, and the like, all online. But in that pattern of 3 years, kind of isolating yourself, you know this probably as well, Cammie, you can isolate yourself quite a bit in your little entrepreneurial cocoon that you make in your house. And I have an extroverted spirit inside of me. I could be introverted as well, but I've just been really desiring to connect more in person. So I'm transitioning a little bit. I'm still running my online business for the most part, but I've actually just started working at a studio here in town where I live in Northern California in the Silicon Valley. I'm going to teach Megaformer classes, which is a style of workout I can touch on later. I'm going to be the, you know, in-house nutrition coach. So kind of getting into women's lives on a day-to-day basis. So that's one area that life has taken me right now. I'm also trying to get pregnant. So that's a whole nother thing, which puts a dramatic shift in priorities and perspective, which has been really life-giving and amazing for me. And just continuing to, you know, go where I believe God is calling me, which may include graduate school and getting a master's in psychology and counseling. So lots of options out there. Yeah. That's wow. What I do. I go big, right?
You just hit me with bombs, right?
Like, I did.
This is what happened. We don't talk for a few months.
I know. So I'm just kind of being led. Yeah, this is exactly what happens when God gets involved, right? You just,
oh, yes.
You adjust.
This is so good and so juicy. So I'm going to make some notes here so I don't forget. But part of the Rule Breaker Lifestyle podcast is talking about breaking the rules and just going for freedom. So I'm curious to start off here and see where this takes us. What rules have you broken in your life, whether they were rules by you or by somebody else or your family that you broke, and then now you're finding a lot of freedom in?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I just love, the whole rule breaker concept that you are really, you are the card carrier of the rule breaking lifestyle, which is why you are the leader of this podcast. I was forever the rule follower. I mean, I wanted to be, I was a terrible rule follower because, you know, perfection is really unattainable. Whether it's religious perfection or physical perfection, whatever it may be. But I definitely felt when I started the business online, and I went from, you know, working in a gym and kind of being a nutritionist and adding faith to my business as a primary component, felt like I was definitely breaking the rules that, you know, business and faith and religion need to be separated. It felt like I was the only one kind of doing that and treading that line. Come to find out, I'm not, thankfully. I think there's a whole sector of women that are doing fitness by faith, and I think it's really beautiful, and I've connected with so many of the women and fellow entrepreneurs doing that. So that's one way that I feel like I've broken the rules. The other way is just in my transition in my own personal health and in my life, you know, feeling like, well, even starting this business, right? Permission to change directions or to add new facets to your business, thinking like just because you started a business one way doesn't mean you're going to end up finishing it that way, and kind of just taking that freedom to navigate the course with intentionality and not on a whimsical level, but with intentional, you know, that desire to seek God's will and allow course redirection and course correction or additional facets like school or whatever it may be. That feels like it's breaking the rules because I'm a finisher. And if I say I'm going to start something, I really want to finish it a lot of times in the same vein that I started it. And I'm kind of giving myself permission to have that freedom and flexibility. And then personally in my health, you know, going from being a bikini competition type of trainer to now having the freedom of leniency and self-acceptance and love for my body as it is and preparing a body for pregnancy puts a whole another perspective on it that you then break a lot of the nutrition rules that you used to ride or die for. So those are three categories of rule breaking that I definitely have and still continue to, you know, tread through because it is hard for my rule following tendency to kind of just like step into that freedom, as you call it.
That's so good. You just gave us so much right there in all those categories. That's perfect. So I think we're the same, and I think our listeners are the same, is that most of us grew up with this perfectionist mindset and not really sure where it came from, if it was from our parents or just from ourselves wanting to do everything perfectly. But I love how you're talking about these categories of like fitness and faith, like I'm breaking the rules there, and then in my business, and then with my health. So talk about the biggest mindset shift you had to make to do these things and feel okay with stepping out and doing something that may not fit all the rules or the boundaries that you had for yourself before.
The biggest mindset shift, you know, that's such a good question about what it, the underlying mindset shift. I think what's coming to mind right now is that radical acceptance. That is a term that I kind of found along the way, along with the term surrender. Surrender is a word that really manifested itself before I even started the business, before I got married, before all of these life changes happened to me. And just embracing that God's will in my life is a good will. It's a perfect will, and it will lead me in the direction that He has destined for me. I have the role and responsibility of making as wise of decisions as I can and learning from my experiences. So the acceptance of, okay, I've perhaps made mistakes, perhaps have rushed into decisions that I would rethink now, perhaps have followed, you know, comparing myself to others and followed what other people are doing, assuming that's what I needed to do as well, especially in the fitness industry, feeling like you had to play the part, play a role, look a part, and things like that. So radically accepting myself as an individual entity, something that God is, you know, setting apart for a purpose, and honing in on what He says for me to do, really is that shift. Just being open and willing to chart your own course and go in these new directions at His guidance. That's the shift that you have to make. Just that willingness, that step, that surrender. So I would say that would be the biggest one.
That is so good. And it's also like not simple, right? So,
no. Oh my goodness.
So tell me about the back and forth, like the anxiety, because at least if you're like me in terms of like, I know I should be knowing exactly what I want to do, but I'm not exactly sure. And I'm going to go here and go there. And you have this anxiety of the back and forth. So how do you work through that and just be like, okay, this is the next step I'm going to take, even if you're not really sure if it's the right one?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question as well. The anxiety is just fear, right? And we know that fear and love can't coexist. So when I make a transition or I'm waffling in areas of fear, I know that there's some kind of outside influence that's trying to distract me, that's trying to rob me of the peace and joy that the moment deserves, that's trying to follow rules that were never rules that I was meant to follow, that's trying to set some amount of expectation of what the results are supposed to be, which we have no ability, you know, that's part of the surrender. So I really think that kind of... It's hard to say how I overcome it, except with the word love, right? Love is a guidance. Peace is a guider. Joy is all these fruits of the spirit that we know that God gives us as signs of spiritual fruit, signs of His presence, the guide that He gives us. When I can quiet myself, quiet my thoughts, can lean into His word, can remind myself of His promises, secure myself in trusting Him, not trusting myself or, you know, the entities of likes and shares and followers and, you know, paid subscribers or whatever it may be, that's where I find that the answers become known, that it's in the midst of like the peace in the seeking His voice and seeking His face. And it just reveals itself. It's never a perfect science. It's never like you're going to have all the answers and then you take the step. I mean, that's not faith, right? So it's really just a great test. It's been a big test, but knowing that you're in a test helps you take on that mindset of like, okay, I want to do this. I want to increase my faith, grow my faith, and improve my trust in God. But it's not an easy task, and it does feel uncomfortable most of the time.
There's a lot to what you said there. And I think what I heard was that you went for the love. So if somebody's trying to make a decision, and I think it can be a decision on anything, like trying to find a coach, whether it's for fitness or whether it's for business, or trying to make a decision on what job to be at, that you go towards where you feel love and peace. Do you think that that's true in terms of making a decision?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I believe those are the innate guiders that God has implanted in our spirit. He's given us spiritual intuition and conviction and a conscience, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to use those tools in that way. It's not just like feeling good. Things that feel good don't necessarily mean they're what God seeks for you. That's different. But there's an intuitive, like a spiritual intuitive response that it might be harder, but if it's out of love, and if you can make that mindset shift into love, that might be the right path for you. It's actually usually not the easier path, in my experience. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I think it's more like more waiting There's definitely more waiting involved usually. Usually you can be like, well, I could just do this right now and that would work. But usually that's in your own strength that you're trying to do something and you're trying to make it happen. Usually the peace comes in, like you said, the surrender of like completely being like, I have no clue what's going to happen, but I have peace in that somehow.
Right. Even just that pause, I think you and I are the same. Like we can make like very quick decisions and just go, right? Mm-hmm. And I've done that and it's not always worked out great. Sometimes it's worked out fine. And you get a rush of, you know, excitement and exhilaration and you're going and you feel like you're productive. And then sometimes it doesn't work, right? It felt like a lot of busyness or you overwhelm yourself or you get too stressed out. Had I stopped and literally just prayed, like in my spirit, over the answer, over that step before I just went, I might have changed direction. I might have just that pause in and of itself, waited for, you know, a couple more things to fall into place that kind of helped me make those next steps. It may not always reveal itself. You might just have to try, and the experience is part of the game in this as well. But that act, that discipline of like, okay, I'm going to pray over my decisions before I just do them. That waiting, that patience. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things God has having been working me to make sure that I stop and reflect and seek him first. Yes.
And I think sometimes people listening, we have people of all different backgrounds listening to the podcast. So they might be like, what are you talking about? Like, so for me, when I think of praying, it's like you sit down with your Bible and you're like all professional. And I've actually changed my form of prayer lately into kind of what you said. It's just silence. And I'll ask a question, just one question, and then I'll just wait for the answer. And it's just like, it might be something like, how can I be more open? Or what am I to do today? Like something like that, where it's like, guide me what I'm supposed to do today. Whereas before it would be like, God, give me this job or make this connection work for me. It was like me telling him what to do. And now it's like a question of, where am I supposed to go today? What am I supposed to do? And I get really cool answers from it.
Do you? Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And I, like you said, people that may not have the, you know, the Christian background or whatever experience you have with religion or faith, it is, I mean, it's determined to be, it's intended to be a conversation, right? It's just you, there's no prayer necessarily you have to follow. There's no prescribed way to do it. When we believe that Jesus has come into our heart, he's there. He's, you know, he's within us and he's a friend. So talking to him as though you're speaking to a friend, or just like you said, waiting to hear, to listen to a friend, makes that intimate relationship accessible to you. And then your eyes are actually peaked and ready to hear it. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful, the little whispers that you hear. There's actually a part in the Bible that Elijah is up on a mountain. Do you know this part, Cammy? And he's very distraught. He's been running away from people that he thinks are out to kill him. And there was like a hurricane, but God wasn't in the hurricane. There's great winds, and God wasn't in the winds. There was all the roaring fires. God was not in that. And it says at the end, it was... And finally, after all that chaos, there was a gentle, small whisper, and that's where God spoke to him. And I love that symbolism of that. I think it's in First or Second Chronicles. I can't remember. But I just love that reminder that we expect God to come and show up in big, huge ways. We could put him to the test all the time. You see this on movies or even in your own life where you're like, God, if you're real, do this. Or God, if you really love me, you're going to get me that job. Or God, show yourself in these big, huge ways. But often, God's greatest presence is in the form of a whisper. He comes in unexpected ways. And that's the greatest gift of all, is to not expect certain things from him and allow him to write those stories into your life and into your heart.
That is so good. And that's the exact place you want to be, is in that just receiving of just, okay, I don't know what you got for me, but it's something good, and I don't know when it's going to come, but I know it's coming, and then just waiting on it. I think it's a exciting place to be when you have the right mindset, or it's a miserable place to be, and I've been in both.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm in a waiting process of waiting to get pregnant, and I could tell you I must need a lot more patience than I thought I had, because it's growing a lot more patience in me, but it's hard. It is very hard.
Well, so if you want to share a little bit about that story, you can. I didn't know how much you want to go into that here, but I know you share a lot with your email list in terms of what you're currently going through.
Sure. I mean, I can just give the basics now. I don't have tremendous updates, but my husband and I have been married just over 3 years. I am a stepmom. So that's been one of the greatest unexpected joys of my life, is just being able to love and connect with two daughters that I did not birth, but they are certainly part of my heart and a part of our relationship in significant ways. But upon becoming a stepmom, I also had this like definite desire that I would love to experience this, becoming a birth mom. And so, you know, it took a while. I don't know if women can understand the conundrum that comes from trying to convince a husband, or maybe it was vice versa in your relationship, to have a baby. So it took a while for that, but God actually really opened the door, because it wasn't working when I was trying to convince him. I could tell you that much. But there was some significant stories of just God working on his heart. And then we got to this position where we were ready and willing to try. But it ended up that we had to seek some fertility treatments. Luckily not for my end. It was just because my husband, had a vasectomy. And so you can actually seek fertility treatments. And I was all for it, because anything to get my heart's desire, I'm willing to do. But little do you know how much it takes out of you. So we have been going through the IVF process for the last year. We were delayed 6 months because we happened to travel to an area that was infected by Zika virus. So they delay you there. You grow really close through all these hormone shots and all this expectations and hopeful pregnancies, and you know, so far one disappointment of not getting pregnant, and we're going to keep trying. But it's been life-giving in many, many ways, because there's very few things that grow your faith and grow your trust in God than this miracle that is the ability to become pregnant and to actually witness, you know, how science and technology has blessed us with the ability of being able to do it when, you know, decades ago you wouldn't have been able to. So it's definitely something I have zero control over. And as hard as that is, it's been really good. It's been really good. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I know it's a current struggle. So I know it's easier to talk about something in the past, like, go God, you did it. But like in the trenches, it's harder. I know. And I know that there's people that resonate with that. So
yeah,
what you're doing now, like what's your morning practice? What's your daily practice that keeps you on this faith path?
Yeah, I definitely have to spend a lot more time in the Word because of this waiting period, you know, this instability of all things outside of life. So all through the month of Thanksgiving, or November, I should say, 21 days leading up to Thanksgiving, I did a challenge with my business. I wrote a devotional called an alignment devotional, and it's something that I had kind of came up with as a way to combine like a morning devotional time, as well as preparing your body for movement through alignment exercises. So I kind of just combined the two. And I did that for the 21 days with a group of about 100 people that signed up. It was really fantastic. So you just, you know, lay on the ground in these certain positions that help align your hips. They align your back. They align your shoulders. All these areas that can get out of whack with all the sitting that we do and the, you know, just aging, your hips and everything kind of get out of alignment and pain can happen subsequently from that, or even just training when you have muscles that start moving things. So doing alignment exercise in the morning really can help you with lower back injury, with upper back injury, or pain, I should say, not fixing any injury. But it also is cool because as you're aligning your body, you're aligning your heart and your mind by meditating on a word or a scripture or a phrase that jumps out at you and reading something that's in a devotional. So that was my practice for about a month. I kind of got out of that practice, but now I'm kind of into like a more study of the Bible type of mode and doing things in that first thing in the morning. But I kind of just allow myself to do things for a month and then move on to something else and then come back to it when I need to. But I love my mornings. They're my favorite time. How about you? I think you're like a nighttime person, aren't you?
Yeah, I was born a nighttime person. Like I thrive, yeah. I'm up late. I just like to get hyper at night. but in the past year and a half, I realized that was a limiting belief that I was just like, I'm not a morning person. And it just gave me permission to be a jerk in the morning.
Yeah.
So I've now just decided that I'm going to start getting up earlier. And so I still believe there are people that wake up and they bounce out of bed because their physiology is just ready for the morning. And there's people like me who stumble out of bed and like run into the wall, but like eventually we'll be okay. So I've done what I can do with my physiology to become a morning person, but I can tell you there's a big difference when I don't do my morning meditation and prayer and journaling and when I just roll out of bed and go out the door. I'm just more irritable. I'm not showing up well. So I definitely see the value in a morning practice. Sometimes it's there. Sometimes if I didn't go to bed early enough, right, because I'm up late, then I miss out on it. But I always ask because it does make such a difference to have that.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm a morning person, so I maybe will spend more time doing something, extended study or whatnot, that wouldn't be a right time for you to do that, engage in that brain activity. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that rituals and just the whole act of, you know, having that sacred space or doing things in a way that makes it even more inviting. So like for my morning quiet time, I have a specific chair that I sit in with the blanket and I get my cup of coffee. And it's like it invites you into this whole small comforts that help you actually show up for the thing that you can wake up looking forward to it. And I find that's been one of the best things that I've been creative with is, okay, if this habit is hard for me to do, how can I make it more enjoyable? What's a ritual that I can put behind the habit that will make it more inviting and something that I can actually look forward to doing? So I take it that's what has worked for you to actually get you out of bed and doing something.
You know, it's interesting because I would have to say in the past month or so, my schedule has become ridiculous. So So that's the first thing to go is like, okay, well, I'm just going to sleep in a little bit. So what I try to do is I've got a couple of things. I've got morning pages. I've got gratitudes. I have some meditations from our friend Molly. So those are like my tools that I can use. I found myself sticking them more in the evenings as of late, just because I am running out the door in the mornings. And I have two dogs now instead of one.
Yes,
I adopted another dog. So that's been adding another child to my life as well, taking up a little bit more time. But I'm glad we're on this topic because it sounds like what you did, and this is kind of what I do with my programs, is that you decide, like, what do I need right now? And then you created it. Is that what you did?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why this podcast exists. I was like, I'm doing this. I like it. So
I do too. I love podcasts and I'm excited to listen to this one too.
Yeah. It's one of my obsessions listening to others. So I'm glad we're able to bring that to people as well.
Yeah.
Now shifting gears into, so we talked about your morning ritual. What resources have you used or have just kind of life changed your life? Like we talked about podcasts or books or anything really.
Yeah, I got into technology listening, binging on podcasts, sermons online, Audiobooks, the whole listening facet of things has been tremendous value to me. I don't even listen to music, like hardly at all anymore. I listen to all spoken word things that really give me life, especially, like I said, when you own your own business, you're in your house, you know, for the majority of the day, with the exception now of when I'm out in the studio that I work out, work at. But I just love, that we have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of brilliant people that are teaching, educating, sharing, laughing, you know, all that they do. So I have various, I go through kind of, I don't know, seasons. For a while, the last 3 years, it was, I got all these great pastors that I followed that we, you know, years ago, we wouldn't have been able to hear what other pastors are like. You only have the one from the church that you decide to go to. But now we have access to so many. And I love, you know, Elevation Church with Stephen Furtick. I love Life Church with Craig Rochelle. I love Pastor Rick Warren and Saddleback that are all over the United States that I can binge listen. Even Joyce Meyer, like someone old school like that. She's just great. And they have podcasts. They have stream. You can stream it on YouTube, things like that. So I listen to a lot of different pastors, a lot of different sermons that I think speak life and bring the word of God to life in unique ways that you can appreciate the teaching there. Audiobooks, I am a huge sucker for Brené Brown. I just love, I love the audio version of her as well, because especially the ones where she's speaking, she's just a brilliant speaker. If anyone's ever watched her TED Talks, she has a gift. She doesn't even practice hardly at all when she does speaking engagements. She just has that gift and ability to speak profound wisdom in very relatable ways. She's a storyteller, as she calls herself. So I listen to a lot of her audiobooks just to get that extra Brené flavor that she has. And sometimes it's not even an actual book that she's reading. She's just doing like one, I think Men, Women, and Worthiness is an example of one that I found on Audible, that she's actually just at a you know, conference that she's hosting. And she just recorded the entire conference. And then you get that unique style of listening there. And then podcasts, I love just the fun ones too. There's one called Popcast, which is all things pop culture. And they just make me laugh and they talk. It's a male and female host that I think are so funny. I love one called The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. She's just this, you know, a Texas belle that has this cute little, accent, so to speak, Texas accent, but she just has conversations with other women. And there's one, For the Love with Jen Hatmaker, that's relatively new. She's a really funny author. She's a Christian author as well. And she just has great conversations all under a theme. So I love podcasts that are, especially like yours, Cammie, it's just going to be conversations that you feel like you're just listening in on girlfriends talking. And there's something that's like therapeutic about that, that has been really life-giving to me. So yeah, those are kind of my three categories that I would say have been tremendously valuable to me, especially since starting my business.
Those are so good. And yeah. I'm with you on the Joyce Meyer, like talk about old school. I started listening to her. Like I love her. She's just funny. I don't know. I like her a lot. And then,
I mean, just wisdom, right? Yeah. She has such like a crass
way. She's my type of person, right? Like, just yeah, like, tell it like it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. And everybody keeps mentioning Brené Brown. I'm not kidding you. Pretty much everybody I've interviewed keeps mentioning Brené Brown. So that's just,
she's a voice of our generation. She just has brought so much insight. I love that it came from the wave of like research and actual, you know, knowledge, not just her opinion, right? Everything is factually based, but she just has such a tremendous gift that has been really impactful and eye-opening for many of us.
There's another one I want to add that I just found, not sure how I did, but it's like currently changing my life. Have you heard of Lisa Nichols?
It sounds familiar, but what's her podcast called?
It's not a podcast, but it's actually a book. So her book that I'm listening to on Audible is called Abundance Now. And You know, you just love have those it. Like universal questions. And I'm yeah. like having all these questions in my head. And I swear each chapter is like, well, here you go. Here, she keeps telling me things. I'm like, well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. Like, it's like she yeah. knew what I was asking. And
yeah,
so,
that's a God thing for sure.
Yeah. So her awesome. Story, she basically had a child young, was on welfare, had no money, and now has transformed her life through mindset and through faith and through stepping out in faith. And now she just took her company public. And she's probably one of the only African-American women speakers who gets mm-hmm. on stages with like the big names like Jack Canfield. She was in the movie, The Secret. So you'll probably, if you've seen that, you probably know who
okay. I'm talking about. Yes. I think I can picture her now. That's yeah. amazing. Yeah. That sounds great.
But I just thought I'd throw that in the mix because it's like a current one that it's just speaking to me so much right now.
That's so good. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about your training a little bit. We didn't touch on that, but how are you currently training right now and why?
Yeah, so it's been a shift in priorities. Like I said, just the idea of doing fertility treatments, trying to get pregnant, shifts your priorities of what's really important. So the fitness to always lose fat or body fat is changed, right? And I really am loving this season, but I love exercise. So I approach my weekly exercise, my weekly therapy, as I put it, in a balanced approach. I try to get 1 to 2 sessions of cardio. Right now, my cardio of choice is spinning. We have a spin bike here at the house. So I usually do like 20 or 30 minutes of kind of intervals there, whatever I feel like doing. And then I try to do mobility. Yoga is a great one. I try to take a yoga class maybe once a week or do some at-home yoga once or twice a week. I try to get strength training in for sure. So traditional strength training that I do in my house, I don't have a gym membership right now. So I just try to do everything from home, making it as convenient and free from, you know, excuses as possible. So I do a lot of dumbbell workouts. I created a program that's all dumbbell based called the Strong Her Fitness and Mobility Program, where I put it all together in kind of a periodized model. It's like a 24-week plan that I will just, you know, pick out a workout. Now that I've done the entire thing, created the videos for and everything, I just will find a workout to do and just do it real quick in my living room or on my balcony. And then, like I said, there's the new style of training that I found, which was really helpful preparing for pregnancy, called Megaformer. Have you ever heard of this, Cammie?
I don't think so.
Okay. So if you picture the Reformer, which is a Pilates machine type of thing, it kind of looks like that, but it's not Pilates. So what it is it's a sliding bench that kind of looks like the Reformer that slides back and forth, but there's spring loads on that, which means you add weight to what that bench does. And then there's straps and there's pulleys, and you end up doing a whole sequence where it's really, really, really good for your core, like deep core, things that you don't normally get from just, you know, sit-ups or even planks or any of that stuff. And then just more slow movement, static hold type movements and flows, where you're basically working the entire time. There's hardly any rest for your muscles, and it's a 45-minute class. So that has been a tremendous shift, just going from traditional weight training where you can kind of tweak things like pretty, I mean, if you're doing it right, you hopefully will avoid injury, but just like it's kind of high impact. So this is a equally intense but lower impact workout, which is why I'm getting certified and joined the fitness studio that has it. So I try to do that 2 to 3 times a week as well, just to keep the practice up and get that core. I need to really strengthen my core, and that is one of the best ways I've done it. Mm. So that's kind of what my weeks look like.
That is really cool. You'll have to see if you can send us a video link, and I'll put it sure. in the show notes so that they can see what you're talking about. I love that because it's also like another mindset shift, because you and me both are kind of like meatheads. So mm-hmm. to be able to go, oh, I'm going to do this mega reformer thing that's not weights, has probably been a mindset shift for you as well.
For sure. And it's so funny because the first time I tried the class, I was out in the middle of town, like 40 minutes away from where I live. And I was in between two doctor's appointments. And I'm like, I'm not driving all the way home, you know, in traffic here in the Bay Area. So I'm like, I'll just find a workout that I can do that I'm not going to like sweat that much, right? So I go into this thinking it's going to be like the easiest thing ever and just a nice good stretch with like a little bit of muscle work, like Pilates is for me. No offense to anyone that loves Pilates. But I go in and I'm like sweating my face off. And it's like one of the hardest things I've ever done. I can't hold any. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm strong. Like, I know I'm strong. I lift things heavy, but I can't do this thing. It's like, it's the small muscles and it's the slow movements. That's that change of pace that, you know, your body just needs from time to time. We know our metabolisms adapt. From your boy, Jay Tita, you know, he teaches all about the metabolic laws. So we have to continually change things up. And this was just what my body ordered because I suffer from lower back things on occasion. I had a bulging disc like 4 years ago. So this is one of the exercises that actually helps prevent any of that pain. If anyone is in that same boat, I think it might be worth a try. But Don't walk in thinking it's going to be like easy and stretchy and all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll put some links in there. We'll put like how to find a studio and whatnot for where people are. That's awesome.
That's really cool. Give it a shot. Yeah. I mean, it's a little expensive, so I don't mean to be disrespectful of that, but yeah, it would be worth trying for sure. And maybe you'll love it.
Awesome. I love that you shared that. All right. We're about to wrap up here and I want to go into the quick fire round, which is my favorite. So I'm just going to say some questions and you just think of the answers that come to you first.
Love it. Let's do it.
So first one, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Okay. Next one, favorite Froyo toppings or combinations?
Chocolate chips. Usually just chocolate chips. Yeah.
That's it. Nothing else.
No, I got off the pro. You're not going to even recognize
me. That's
okay.
I know.
I'm off the Froyo bandwagon because I'm more into like, you know, baked. I don't know. It started upsetting like my stomach. So then it's like, I would rather just have the cookie or the chocolate thing.
Well, right. I mean, that's honestly why I get frozen yogurt anyway.
It's for the treats.
And you know, I've actually recently started doing a little bit of a little food sensitivity work. So I've gone to like cashew milk and I'll go ahead and just get like the So Delicious and just.
Yeah. And then do your own thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've had real Froyo actually, now that I think about it.
Well, that's good. That's a grown up decision right there.
I know. Well, thank you. I know. Well, I led a whole group on resetting the body and figuring out food sensitivities. And turns out that's why I take an hour nap after every time I have frozen yogurt. I'm super sensitive to everything that I'm eating.
Signs and wonders.
Yeah. Good to know.
Forget to pay attention to. Yeah.
Yes. And then my last question is, who do you think would be a good guest to come on the podcast next?
Can you get Brené Brown? No.
Oh, I know, right? Like, we're to write a petition. Like, girl,
she's not busy.
Right. She has time. Plenty of time.
She'll grow your listener rate by 100-fold.
I know. Like,
I think you had prepped me for this and I forgot to think about it a little bit more. I know you are expecting to have Jill Coleman. She's just a brilliant thought leader and has impacted both of our lives as mentor. I think Megan, Meg, is she your friend that's Fit Faith?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I thought of one. Okay, I just thought of a different one. If you're looking for another fit and faith-based person, Jackie Peterson, she lives with her husband all around the U.S. because he's a professional basketball player. Wow. She's a mom of two, and she does hardcore. She's just got a business going. Like, wherever they're in Lithuania right now. I met her in person in Jerusalem where she was living with him there. She just had her second child, two little girls, and she just does it. Like, she works really hard. She kind of has a mom blog thing going and mom fitness going, which may or may not relate to your audience, but I think she's just a great gal that's a hard worker that you would like awesome. That kind of work ethic.
Well, please connect me so that we can reach out and see if we can get her on. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Is there anything else you want to leave with the listeners? Do you have anything coming out, or do you have anything to say that maybe we didn't cover that you just want to leave them with?
I think I said everything on my heart, with the exception of just like stepping into that freedom. I don't have anything coming out right now, but I will let you know if I do. But stepping into the freedom of just, you know, breaking those rules that we kind of put on ourselves and realizing that there are no rules in life, that everything is intended to be unique to you, just like you are unique on this earth, that God doesn't create duplicates on purpose. And your purpose isn't going to be duplicatable as well. But one of the scriptures that was on my heart that I would just love to share as I was kind of preparing and praying for this, came from the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, where Paul is the writer, is the apostle Paul, says this great thing that I think is the epitome of what freedom is. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And I think that's what freedom is that you take toll, you take inventory of the lessons that you're learning. You continue to move in faith. You're not just waiting around. You're doing what you can with what you have, but you forget all that's behind you, all those disappointments, all the things that has happened to you, and strain toward what is ahead. It's really about facing forward in life and learning the lessons that we need to learn, but continuing to move and to take that next best step. So that is
perfect. Thank you so much for putting so much thought and time and prayer into this. I know that you definitely bless a lot of people listening. So I appreciate you for being on, and we'll have all the stuff. If you think of anything, just send it to me. We'll put it in the show notes.
Will do. Okay. Thanks, Candy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Rule Breaker Lifestyle Podcast. The goal of this podcast is to inspire you to up level and take action. If you found value from this show, please leave a review in iTunes by clicking See More Episodes, then scroll down to the bottom and click Write a Review. Connect with me and find the show notes at cammykennedy.com/listen.